welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice for the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howell, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the founder and CEO of Church Answers.
So, I'm staring at a blank screen.
Never happens to you.
That was the line, the subject line at Church Answers in the forum, Church Answers Central. And, you know, if that had been an email topic, I would have clicked right on. I mean, it was bait. I mean,
you need to write that down.
I went right to it because I thought it may have been about sermon preparation, but I wasn't sure. I didn't know what was going on. And I noticed that particular, topic or that particular thread got a lot of attention. It was about the simple concept is, what do I do if I have my sermon text and I'm ready to prepare it, and I just don't know what to write? I just have sermon block, if you will. And that's what he meant. He said, I'm staring at a blank screen. I didn't know if he was going to type detailed notes or if he's a manuscript preacher, but he could not get the sermon going. And I have sympathy with these pastors because they are preaching, if you listen to a previous podcast, anywhere from 40 to 50 times different messages a year.
Or maybe 150.
Yeah, if they're in the old, model,
yeah,
of preach Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And so I do have sympathy for these pastors and empathy for them. Maybe they could become better prepared if they got their biblical training at Midwestern Seminary.
They needed to get their training at Midwestern Seminary because you can get your training quicker. We've talked about how it's like 15 hours shorter than the MDiv that you got.
Yeah.
81
yeah.
hours and still a great degree.
Yep.
And it gives you a complete foundation for full-time ministry, giving you everything you need and nothing you don't. You can join other students in vibrant Kansas City and train in a unique collaborative environment focused on the local church or study online in your current ministry context. Midwestern is developing a discipleship culture devoted to the local church and committed to God's unchanging word. You can start your training today at mbts.edu/mdiv.
So, full disclosure, many of these podcasts, Jonathan and I actually do the content ourselves. I mean, we do all of them. Let me be clear here. But I borrowed so much of the content for this particular podcast and the points we're going to cover from the thread at Church Answers. I just want to be very, very clear that I'm watching pastors respond again and again at that particular text about what do they do when they have sermon block or writer's block or whatever you want to call it, or as the topic said in the subject, I'm staring at a blank screen. What do you do? And I was just fascinated to see the different responses. And you and I and Amy J were recently, just a couple hours ago, on a Church Answers call. We had about 25 people on the screen talking to them. This is one of the tiers of Church Answers. And what is absolutely fascinating about that group is how they inform each other, mm-hmm. how they connect to one another, and how peer group support is so big. As a matter of fact, one of them, Justin, if you're listening, I'm talking about you. One of them said he didn't know where to get peer support until, he was at Church Answers. So I got this information from them talking to one another. This is not Rainer original. This is Rainer copying someone else who is talking about this whole issue of sermon preparation.
All right. So we're talking about five common ways to overcome that sermon block. You mentioned that blank screen.
Yeah.
Because every week for every pastor, Sunday's coming.
Yep.
And on Monday, it's 6 days away. Tuesday, 5 days. And
that's good. Your math.
Good math. How about
your
that?
Your math is amazing.
Yep. Micah taught me that in kindergarten.
Okay.
From his kindergarten class.
Micah is his son, by the way.
So way number one that you can overcome those sermon blocks. I don't want to call this easy because, preaching's not easy. But preaching through books of the Bible, if you're preaching through Joshua, after Joshua 6 comes Joshua 7.
Yep. And after Psalm 150 comes
Proverbs 1.
There you go. Thought I'd catch you on that one. First of all, it's typically called expository preaching. I know I've told you, it's not a joke, it's a reality, where I did Effective Evangelistic Churches, that book, in 1996. Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I ask is, what is your preferred preaching style? I didn't list them. I just wanted them to put it write it out. Okay. Yeah. I had a team of seminary students who were tabulating it and had said, why do I want to put it objective and make their work too easy? So I put it out there. And four of these people, I don't think they realized they were making a mistake. They meant to say expository and they said suppository.
Suppository is preaching.
Suppository preaching.
Well, I've heard some of that preaching too, Doctor.
Well, I mean, sometimes you do preach on the end times.
And oh.
but this is typically called expository preaching. It's not, you can have expository preaching that's not through books. Yeah, of the
it could be topical and expository.
It can be topical, but typically expository is considered verse by verse.
Yes.
Book,
what I'm saying is you could have a topical series that was expository sermons.
Well, exposit just means to expose the scripture.
Exactly.
So, but if you have books of the Bible, I really did prefer this way of preaching as a pastor in the Sunday morning sermon.
Mm-hmm.
And it would, after Mark 3 came Mark 4, and after Haggai 1 came Haggai 2, and after Haggai 2 came the next sermon series.
Because
there's only two chapters. There's the only two chapter Old Testament book in the Bible. So, it can really help move you along. And at the same time, you're preaching the whole counsel of God.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going through different types of books, you're not preaching your pet sermon or your pet topic.
No.
It's just whatever the text comes up next. So this is one of the ways, and it was the most common way that these pastors said they overcame sermon block.
Because you just naturally preach the next thing.
Yep.
And maybe alternate Old Testament, New Testament.
And here's another thing they said. You only do the background for that
one time. Yeah.
And so you already have your background information, and then you go verse by verse. So very helpful for many pastors. And I think it's a good model for your congregation.
All right. Number two, take sermon preparation retreats.
Yeah, just to get away. A number of pastors, I never could do the annual retreat where I would do a year's worth at one time.
Mm-hmm.
I could typically take a day or two off and do 2 months worth.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd get some criticism for that, by the way.
For being out?
No. For
planning it out.
Planning it out because I want to
listen to Holy Spirit.
It's really weird. The Holy Spirit couldn't help me in my sermon preparation. He can only help me at the point I'm preaching. If there was a need for a change or spontaneity, yeah, I could do that, but I really wanted to be prepared as much as possible.
Tell those folks that don't worry, that pendulum has swung.
Gosh. Yes, I'm a little more spontaneous, you mean,
these days. Yes, just a bit.
You actually heard me preach a sermon that I didn't preach.
Exactly. You didn't prepare.
I had
a couple times, like two of the last three or four.
I went up with one with a set of notes and pivoted.
Yes.
The audience said, I shouldn't do that. In fact, one of those, my mic came off while I was preaching as well. I have weird ears.
Was it audible?
So these retreats, whether they are going away for a week and doing a year's worth or taking a day or two to just plan out the next quarter, many pastors say that's very helpful for them. So it didn't give the urgency of the moment for that particular sermon.
All right. Number three, I've heard part of this, but I never heard the other part of it. Brainstorm with staff and church members.
Yeah. I had not heard that either. Until I saw it on Church Answers.
You piqued my interest.
Well, there's not a whole lot of piqued.
You bring church members into the sermon planning process.
It could be your deacons. It could be your elders. You could be leading a community group. And they're in touch with the congregation, just like in some ways you're in touch with the congregation.
Sometimes more.
And they listen to the Holy Spirit, just like you listen to the Holy Spirit. And so both church members and staff can be sources of pointers. I always want to come to the text and let the text speak for itself, but I also want to be contextual as well. I don't want to preach a sermon where it's so out of context for the congregation they don't know what I'm mm-hmm. doing with it. But I want to be faithful to the text, and at the same time I want to be contextual. Well, a lot of that contextual issue can come from other people within the church.
Mm-hmm.
Have you thought about this is a need in the church? And it may lead to a certain book. It may lead to a certain series. But there is no reason why the Holy Spirit cannot inspire others to talk to you about directions you should take in your sermon.
Now, you know who does a good job of contextualizing sermons? I think I've mentioned it on the podcast.
Dean and Sarah. Yeah.
Because
Tallahassee.
I listen to his podcast and I don't understand his references because they're local.
And that's what they should be.
The people that are there, they sure do, but I don't, because I'm in Nashville and not Tallahassee, and he makes mention of, restaurants or events or things like
I'm
that.
I'm surprised you don't have all American restaurants memorized.
Well, I mean, I've only been to Tallahassee like twice, so give me a chance.
Give me a little longer there.
Give me a little longer.
And Dean, shout out to you, Dean. He has a proven track record.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just numerical growth. He's had a significant impact on the Tallahassee community.
Oh, yeah. So, big time.
I think
that has to do with the fact that his sermons are so contextual.
There you go.
Because the people see that lived out in the daily life of the people in the church.
Now I'm going to have to add him to my podcast preacher listing.
I'm telling you, he's good. His Easter sermon from 17 is one of my favorites.
Well, all right.
So he worked the Taylor Swift line into it, and it was fantastic.
Did he do the Taylor Swift line just for you?
No, not for me, but it worked for me. So I loved it.
Yeah. She's gotten in politics.
Yeah, I know. All right. Let's see. Speaking of podcast pastors, listen to other preachers' podcasts, but don't plagiarize.
Yeah.
Big asterisk right there.
Yeah. When I arrived at Lifeway, it was early in my years there. I'm finishing up my years now, but early in my years now, at one church, two Lifeway employees had preached 2 weeks in a row. And both of them plagiarized.
No.
The same pastor.
Oh.
Different sermons, but the same pastor. And Jonathan, I'll have to tell you this offline because there's so many things that you would already know about. But how someone can take a well-known pastor's podcast and then just virtually repeat it from the pulpit and not think someone's going to pick up on it?
Mm-hmm.
Lots of ones picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's two different Lifeway employees. It was during interim time at this particular church.
They still with Lifeway?
No, neither one of them still with Lifeway.
Good.
We've all made mistakes. But I tell you, one of the people that listens to pastors' podcasts fairly regularly is Jess Rayner, my son, pastor. And he will say something. He will say, now in preparation for this, I actually listened, Alistair Begg's one of his favorites.
Yeah.
He said, I actually listened to Alistair Begg's on this. And I think Alistair Begg has notes with his podcast. And he said, and so he'll put it on the screen, the notes from that.
Just cite it. All you got to do.
It's like a commentary.
Well, I was going to say, listening to another pastor's sermon on a particular passage is no different than reading their book on the particular passage.
Yes.
Same thing.
Yes.
Just cite it just like you would a book.
Yep.
You know, Begg says.
Yep. And
whatever.
And he's done that with a number of fairly well-known pastors. And I think it's very helpful because, I mean, Alistair Begg's one of my favorites, example.
Had him on the pod too.
And, oh yes, had him on the pod. And I tell you what, if I had his accent, I'd be good too.
Yeah.
But I'm not. So,
does Jess ever quote you?
Actually, he's done it two or three times, and it's in the context of my books.
Uh-huh.
And,
makes sense.
I think one time he quoted something from Autopsy of a Deceased Church and another time from I Will. So that's it. But he didn't say a whole lot about.
Well, your books aren't very like theologically quotable. They're practical.
Wait a minute.
If you know what I mean.
Wait a minute. My books are not theological?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Well,
I've heard.
You argue with me?
Rayner doesn't know theology. All he knows is how to do ministry practice. I've heard that a few times. But
you know what I mean.
I think they are theologically sound.
They are.
Okay.
They are. But if you're like expositing scripture, you're not doing that in your
people
books.
Don't come to me for those type of things.
Exactly.
People don't come to me for a lot of things, and that's one of the things they do not come
but
to
see,
me
it'd
for.
It'd be great for you to be mentioned in the application of the sermon. This is how we live this out, folks.
And that's what Jess was doing, by the way.
There you go.
Perfect. The practical side of it. The real life side of it. Yes.
All right. And then finally, start early in the week.
I saw this several times on the thread and with other people. I saw that they said, if you wait too much toward the end of the week, you have a panic effect.
Oh, yeah.
It's Friday. And by the way, I'm going to the game tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And I really haven't done anything on my sermon. The panic effect is something that can really cause you to have sermon block. It says,
You freeze up.
And now, frankly, for me, with writing, it actually helps me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You like the deadline.
I don't necessarily like it, but I can write quickly once I have a deadline. I've been trying to get away from that because it can be stressful, but I can write. But a lot of people, if they have a deadline that is right on them, they just totally freeze. And so one pastor said, you really need to be done with your sermon by Tuesday. He said, do your background work, maybe spend a half a day on it on Monday and maybe all day on it on Tuesday. Whatever hours that would be, maybe 10, 12 hours. Yeah. Something like that. And, then just relax. You can tweak it.
Yeah,
if you think
come back to it, you know,
look at it,
revise
again.
Those kind of things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, when we begin to talk about, sermon block, one of the things that just comes into play is, start early in the week. Now, is that true for everybody?
No.
Not everybody, but still a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people. A rhythm is good too.
Yes. Well, also I was going to ask because it's good that if you have certain components of your sermon, so you've got the intro, you've got like the main text, and then you've got like application or something like that. And then you have the background and the work that nobody sees behind the scenes that it never makes it into the sermon, but you have to know to be able to write the sermon. It's good if you kind of have a formula for that and know that on Monday I want to have this amount done. On Tuesday I want to have this amount done. Even if you're not done on Tuesday, maybe you're done on Thursday, but you know that each day you have kind of a marker that you want to meet.
By the way, when I was in seminary, a lot of times when you have a preaching professor, you have a professor that has not been in a local church preaching. Mm-hmm. It's just been in academia and they're not necessarily bad, but they can't speak from being the senior lead pastor perspective. When I was in seminary, I took my preaching classes under the same professor. There were two of them required. It was Carl Bates. Now, if you have a Southern Baptist history, you know that name because he was president of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Oh.
And, I believe First Baptist Charlotte.
Okay.
Was his pastorate. And he went into retirement and came to Southern.
Uh-huh.
As a professor. Incredible. It was incredible because he didn't just teach us homiletics. He did not just teach us exposition. He put it in the context of what it was like as a pastor.
Okay.
And I learned so much under that guy. That's where I learned, where we heard about the guy who beat up his deacon. You remember that story? It was a student in there.
Oh, yeah. I want to shake the hand of the man.
The
deacon or
actually, he not
got arrested or something for that?
Oh, he did. But the deacon was saying nasty things about the pastor's daughter.
Oh,
and so,
man, you don't do that.
And so he pulled him and just knocked him out in the church parking lot. And there was just a silence in the classroom. And Dr. Bates goes up to John and says, I want to shake the hand of a man who knocked out a deacon. It was just hilarious. He said, now I'm not recommending this for all of you, but, it was just one of those moments where we were hearing from someone who had done it for 40 years. They had done it. And as a result, it was really good.
And see, well, I'm thinking about some of the pastors or the preaching professors we have across the SBC. You know, Dr. York.
Yes.
You know, he's a pastor right now at
Buck Run.
At Buck Run in Frankfort. Jim Shattuck's pastored for a long time. Preaches over at, or teaches preaching at Southeastern. I mean, it's fairly
there are a lot of them that are out
for
there.
For that. Yeah. That are doing that. And I think that's helpful.
Yep.
So.
Well, back to the point, five common ways that pastors overcome sermon blocks. I want our listeners just to really understand that this is from the pastors telling us this.
Well, and the common theme in this is preparation and early.
Yeah.
I mean, it's basically getting ahead.
Yes.
And not the reason that I think you touched on it a minute ago when you said it, the later it gets in the week, the wider that screen gets.
Yeah.
And just the blanker that screen gets. The earlier you start, it usually you avoid a lot of these blocks.
Yep.
And even if you hit a block, you've got time to maybe work that out.
Yep. And by the way, if you're a church looking for a really good pastor preacher, I would recommend that you call Vander Bloom.
Yeah. They can help you out. They are the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped thousands of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. You can find out more about Vander Blum and Search Group by visiting WeStaffTheChurch.com. That's going to do it for today's episode of Rainer on Leadership. Any final closing thoughts, Dr. Rainer?
When I saw the comment in the thread at Church Answers on this, where we made it into a podcast, and then as I prepared it into podcast material, and even as we're speaking this, it has reminded me that I really want our ministry at TomRainer.com, at Rainer on Leadership, and at Church Answers to spend a little more time on the preaching part of it.
Oh.
We talk a lot about practical ministry, and preaching is really the crossroads of practical and theology.
Oh, I like
and
that.
And I really want to be there for many pastors in this. And so, directionally, let's start watching a little bit more about us, yeah. about us talking about the preaching aspect.
All right. Sounds good to me. All right. We got a big announcement on the next show, folks. So join us Tuesday. It's going to be important. So
do I know what it is?
You do. Trust me. We'll see you on Tuesday, folks. Big All announcement right. at Rainer on Leadership. So check it out. And thanks again for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting app. And join us online at TomRainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.